Just want to share one verse with you tonight from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36. Mark 8:36. And maybe as you're turning to it, I want you to think tonight, what is your most precious possession? What's your most precious possession? Mark 8 and 36 tells us this: for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I wonder what you might consider to be your most precious possession. Maybe it's here with you tonight. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. Before we get into the debate about whether they're possessions or not, we'll move on. But maybe you have a car. Maybe you have some sort of sporting memorabilia that's signed by somebody famous or somebody talented, and to you that's your most precious possession. Maybe you've worked hard in life, nothing wrong with that, that's always an admirable thing. And maybe you've worked hard in life and you've managed to get yourself a nice house, or indeed a type of car that's maybe very rare, some sort of classic car, and to you that's your most precious possession. But I want to tell you something even better than that tonight. Every single person here has actually brought their most precious possession with them. It's called your soul. That's your most precious possession, your soul. It is within you right now. And maybe you're listening and you're wondering, what on earth is a soul? I've heard it being sung about. I've heard people maybe talk about it in romantic terms. But what does it actually mean to have a soul? Well, your soul was created by God. And indeed, in the very first book of the Bible, it tells us, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are a living soul tonight. Your soul is very unique for a number of reasons. Your soul never dies. Your soul goes on and on and on forever, even whenever your physical body, your physical time on this earth has ceased to exist. And a very sobering thought just at the outset. Whenever you pass away, and I hope that's not for a long, long number of years, but whenever you pass away, your soul, your most precious possession, will keep on living in one of two places. It will either be in heaven with Christ, or it will be in a place called hell without Christ. Tonight I just want to think very simply of just two things: the worth of your soul and the waste of your soul. The worth of your soul and the waste of your soul. I wonder if you ever counted the cost should your soul be lost. You see, your soul, as we said, one day will die. It will be put into the ground and it will decay. But your soul, which is made in the image of God, will go on and go on forever. You know, when the sun, the moon and the stars have all fallen out of orbit and time will be no more, your soul will still be in existence in one of two places, as we mentioned. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question that we've read tonight. For what shall it profit a man, even if he gained everything in the world, he gained the whole world, yet he still lost his own soul? What makes your soul so valuable? What makes your soul valuable? What makes an item very valuable? Well, maybe who designed it. Depending on who designs certain cars, they might be worth more than other cars. They might be very rare. Your soul was created by Almighty God. You can deny his existence. You can maybe debate whether he even exists at all. But the fact of the matter is, God created you and he designed your soul. That makes it valuable in the first place. Also, not only a designer, but a demand. If something is valuable, it's because there is a high demand on it. Do you know tonight there's a demand on for your soul? There's a battle ongoing right now where you sit, where you stand, where you listen tonight. There's a battle raging for your soul. If you want to find out how much your soul is worth, you just wonder how much somebody is willing to pay for your soul. You know, in 1 Peter 1:18, it tells us this: for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of men, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's how much somebody was willing to pay for your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He went to a place called Calvary, and there he died for the sins of the world. And that was how much he was willing to pay for your soul. God is love. He sent his Son to die for you. You see, at Calvary, Christ died in agony and in blood. And you'll realize something of the value of your soul. You see, the cross cost something. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. It cost God's Son life. You weren't redeemed. You weren't bought back with corruptible things. Your soul is worth much, much more than 1 billion, 2 billion, 3, 10, whatever number you want to put on it. Your soul is worth so much more than just money. It costs the blood of the Son of God to redeem it. You're bought with a price. That's why the Lord Jesus asked this question. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You see, your money can't save you. Your possessions can't save you. Your car can't save you. Nothing human could ever save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you. Why is your soul so valuable? Well, God made you. Christ died for you. And your soul will go on and will go on and will go on. You've only got one soul. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ asked that great question. And then finally tonight, not only the worth of your soul, which you all possess, but let us consider a wee moment the waste of a soul. The Lord Jesus speaks of a man losing his soul when he quoted this great verse, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What a question tonight. What a somber thing to think about on a bank holiday weekend. Maybe you're just out for a casual walk and you didn't expect to be hit with one of the great questions of life. But it's something we all must consider. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying here what a waste it would be if a man gained the whole world but still lost his own soul. Maybe you're here tonight or you're listening on and you think, well, it's my money. It's my clothes. It's my car. It's my everything. Do you know you can't take it with you when you go? There was a country singer from Ireland named Big Tom. Some of you might remember Big Tom and the Mainliners. And he used to sing a song, "You're going out the same way you come in." And you know it's very true. We come into this world with nothing. And you'll leave with nothing except a decision of whether you accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross or not. And I'll tell you something else about the waste of a soul. Even if you could gain the whole world, even if you were so fantastic and you were so brilliant and you worked so hard and you achieved and you gained the whole world, still wouldn't be enough. Still wouldn't be enough to cancel out that great sin debt that you've been bought with. You see, if you lose your soul, it's irreplaceable. I hope none of you do this on the way home, but if you're a bit energetic and you write the car off, well, it might be mildly embarrassing, but you can get another one. We don't really get them over here, but if your house ever blew down in a hurricane or a tornado, it would be annoying, inconvenient, but you could get another one, you could build another one. You can do all those different things. So many things in life can be replaced, but not your soul. Not your soul. You can replace things, but you can't replace your soul. And one final thing about the waste of a soul, one very somber thing tonight. The Bible also tells us it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, there's not one shred of scripture that tells us tonight that we can be saved, we can get it sort of after we die. It has to be done now. It has to be done this afternoon. We have to get saved tonight. I'll tell you plain and simple this afternoon, if you want God's love, you can have it. If you want God's mercy, you can have it. If you want God's grace, you can have it. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. If you want the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you can have him. If you want to be saved tonight, I can stand on the authority of God's word and I can tell you that whosoever, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. It's as simple as that. But it will do no good to come to that day after you've died and then to say, I realize I've got it wrong. I want to get it right now. There's no opportunity for that. It has to be done in the here and the now. You must be saved this afternoon. Right here in the park, you can be saved. There's no mercy, there's no grace, there's no forgiveness if you lose your own soul. It's an irreplaceable loss. You see, tonight you don't need to die in your sin. And you don't need to go to that lost eternity, that place called hell, because Christ died for you. And Christ invites you this afternoon. You're not here by mistake. You're not listening to my voice by mistake. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to repent of your sin, to turn away from your sin, to accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done at the place which is called Calvary, and to accept what he's done for you, and to get saved. There's no excuse for you to leave this afternoon being unsaved. Maybe you think, well, I'll stand before God and I'll be able to give up some excuse. You'll say, well, I didn't know what church to join. He'll say, I didn't ask you to join a church. Just asked you to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Maybe you're listening and you think, ah, the church is full of hypocrites, full of failures. I'll tell God on that day that I didn't become a Christian because of the hypocrites. Can I tell you something? Hypocrites exist in every walk of life. And unfortunately on that day, the failure of the hypocrite won't be enough to forgive you of your sin on that day. As I close tonight, what's your most precious possession? It's your soul. What price are you prepared to pay should you lose your own soul? No matter how long you've been on the road of life, you can come to Christ this afternoon. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you need to be saved. You confess your sin to God. And you can simply ask him to forgive you. And you'll never have to worry about the cost of living again, because you'll have passed from death onto life. Amen.
Song shall end. Good afternoon. It's lovely to see you all out in the park this afternoon. And if you have been visiting with us over the past number of weeks and months, it was really good to see you out. And you'd be made very welcome if you come to visit us next Sunday night as we go back to the main church building. I want to leave a verse with you that has blown my heart and mind over the past couple of weeks. And it's found in John chapter 4 and the verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? If we had taken time to read the entire passage this afternoon, we would have read about a woman. A woman who many in society today would have looked down on. She had had constant relationship failures. She had already had five husbands. She was on to her sixth. Her life was just a mess. She had seemed to be going from one crisis to the next. And nobody seemed to want to be associated with this woman. This woman had many problems in life. But this day was different. She was going about her daily routine. Maybe that's like you this afternoon. And you're going about your daily routine. You've come to the park to get the head showered. You're coming for a walk and you're just minding your own business. Just like this woman. She went out to the well to get some water. She was going about her own, minding her own business. But little did she know that day she was going to meet somebody who was going to change her life. Somebody that was going to turn her around and point her in the right direction. You see, friend, this woman was just about to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to this verse this afternoon where this woman said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? If you're within listening ear this afternoon, I would ask you to give me 5 minutes of your time. 5 minutes of your time to I tell you about this man who is Jesus Christ. This man who changed this woman. This man who changed me. And this man can change your life forever. Who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How can I say that? Well, I have God's word in my hand as my authority. Here in my hand is a copy of the Bible. Every word in this book is true. From how this world was created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's word also tells me all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look around you this afternoon. You see the flowers, the trees, the birds, the animals. All these were created by God. My Bible tells me so. The Bible also tells me how I am to live towards my fellow citizens. It tells me how to be a good citizen. We've all heard of the Ten Commandments. God giveth them to us in his word. There's so much truth in this book. It is the only book. It is the only book that for generations men have tried to destroy. They have tried to disprove it. They have tried to make ill of it. They have tried to get rid of it. Does that not in itself speak to you, friend? If this book was fake news, if this book was make-believe, why would so many people want to destroy it? I tell you why they want to destroy it. It is God's word and it has power. It is power to save. It is power to change lives. This book has power to change nations. Friend, tonight it changed this woman's life. It changed it so much that she had to go and tell her friends, come see a man. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. Why was he here? Why did Jesus come to this earth? My Bible tells me in 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save me. He came to save you. You see, friend, we all have a problem. Every single one of us was born with sin. God's word tells me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born with this problem of sin. God created this world and it was perfect. It was without blemish. But he created Adam and Eve, the very first man and woman. And Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God. And they disobeyed God, and by them sin entered into the world. This world was tarnished with sin. You might say to me, what does sin look like? Well, we have a very simple way of teaching the boys and girls. And we simply say, what is sin? Sin is anything that we think, that we say or do that breaks God's law. Sin is anything we think, say or do that breaks God's law. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen something? Have you ever thought ill of someone? The list goes on, and I don't need to stand up here tonight and rhyme off a list of sins. If we were all honest, we would all say that at some point, in some shape or form, we have all sinned in our lives. You might say to me, so what? So what if I've sinned? So what if I've told a lie? So what if I've thought ill of somebody? I am a good person. I haven't done anybody any harm, really. And to the average eye, that might be true. And we don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. God knows all about you. He sees all things. He knows all things. God is holy. God is just. God is true. And sin can have no part in God's heaven where he is. If I asked for a show of hands this afternoon, I'd say every single one of us would say, yes, I want to go to heaven. That's where I want to be when I die. But you know what, friend? If there was sin in heaven, it would be an imperfect place. It wouldn't be heaven at all. It wouldn't be a great place. So because of your sin and because of my sin, someone, either us or somebody else, had to take account for our sin. God's word tells me in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages, we all know what a wage is. We've all worked. And we go out and we work for a week and we get our pay at the end of the week. At the end of that week, we get as what's due to us. And so we have sinned, and the due payment to us is death. But that's not a very nice prospect. I'm sure you didn't want to come and hear that this afternoon. But praise God, that's not where that verse ends. For the wages of sin is death. But why did Jesus Christ come? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why he came, friends. He came for you, he came for me, that we might have eternal life. We know who Jesus Christ is. We know why he came. What did he do when he was here? If you read this Bible, you will read many accounts of what he did as he walked this earth. From healing the sick, from raising the dead, from lifting the lame. And here in this short encounter with this woman, we read how he changed her life forever. But the most important thing that he did when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, it wasn't all the miracles he did. The most important thing he did was he came to take your sin. He came to give you a hope and a future. He came, his main purpose here was he came to die. And he died on the cross instead of you and me. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He had no sin, he knew no sin. And then what did he do? He gave up his life for you. He gave up his life for me. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that just amazing, friend? Isn't that the best news you have heard all week? Christ died for you. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know our sins forgiven. We can know peace with God, all because Jesus died for us. In the past few minutes, I trust I've done my best to introduce you to this man who is Jesus Christ. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean to know Jesus Christ? Yes, you can know of him, you can know about him, you can read books. If you don't know him, I'd encourage you to get yourself a Bible and read more about him. And if you don't have a Bible, come and see us and we will gladly get you a copy of God's Word. And there you can read more about Jesus Christ. But what is it to know him? What's the point of us here today? We want you to know him personally. We want you to know him in your life. It's not good enough to know about him. It's not good enough to say, I've heard about him and I know he's in heaven. I know he came here to earth. But you've got to believe in him, friend. You've got to believe in him to have that everlasting life. John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. We must believe that Jesus died for our sins. We must believe that Jesus rose again. We must believe that he alone is the only one can rescue us. He alone is the only one that can save us. God's word says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We must repent from our sin. We must say sorry for all the times that we have sinned against God. We must turn to God for forgiveness. Friends, this afternoon, will you accept the invitation? Because my God is faithful. Because my God is true. And he has promised me in his word, Romans 10 and 13, that whosoever, who is that whosoever? Praise God, that's me. Praise God, that's you. Praise God, that's anybody within earshot of this word this afternoon. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.